Passage that we're going to be in. Turn to Hebrews 11. Don't stand yet. I will say this. My first thought was, well, if I can't do the thing on baptism, I'll just preach something I preached before, which I thought about doing. David and Goliath and following God with confidence, as David did when he fought Goliath. But I just could not get this passage off my mind. I just really believe the Lord has us here in Hebrews 11. We're not going to go through the entire, you guys know Hebrews 11, most of you, the hall of faith, but we're just going to deal with one aspect of that, and then we'll kind of deal with the context of that, okay? All right, sound good? So next week, be here next week. You need to be here next week. You need to be. And if you have friends who are like, what's the deal with Baptists next week? They'll shed it all straight. And so, the Lord willing. Thank you. I almost forgot to say that. If I didn't say that, it wouldn't have happened next week. All right. Amen. All right. If you're there, Hebrews 11, just all stand. And we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse number 17. Sorry. The writer of Hebrews, we don't know exactly who it was. Many believe that it's probably the Apostle Paul, but we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But here's what he says. Here's what we do know. There is one author we do know about. And it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had a man pen these words under inspiration. He says this in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, there's a lot there, incredible thought there. We're going to pray. And then right after we pray and we be seated, we're going to turn right to Genesis 22. And I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm 31. I'm an old man, so I can just do the grandpa stories. You know what I'm saying? I didn't. No. Okay. Well, we'll still tell you a story. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how relevant it is in our lives. Thank you that it does clear up what we ought to believe, how we ought to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be people who put your word as a priority, and really any feelings or thoughts, emotions aside, and just follow you and your word. Help us to have conviction that way. And Lord, I pray that you bless this time. Help me as I, Lord, declare your word this morning, that you would just guide and direct all that's said, and that you'd be glorified in all of it. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Amen. Go to Genesis 22 as you're seated. Leave your spot because we're going to come back to Hebrews 11. Now, I will say this. The reason we're in Genesis 22, I don't often go into two passages. But here's why. Because Hebrews, let me help you with this. Are you ready to put your thinking caps on? Hebrews was like written to the Hebrews. I know. And so the people who read Hebrews would have known this. And most of us know this, but I'm sure not as well as the Hebrews knew this. Why? Because Abraham was the father of the Israeli nation, of the Hebrew people. And they idolized Abraham. We know that because it's just obvious, but also Paul referenced Abraham quite a bit, speaking to Jews who weren't accepting the gospel. He would reference Abraham because the Jews referenced Abraham, and they knew all about Abraham. And I'm not going to be able to get you as familiar with Abraham as they were, but I'm going to try because it's really going to help us as we get to Hebrews 11, okay? And so before we even get to chapter 22, we'll just do this, a little bit of background that Abraham was from Ur of Chaldees. He was not God's chosen people yet. God chose Abraham specifically out of Ur of Chaldees. In fact, Hebrews 11 talks about this a few chapters before. And God called Abraham to follow him. Did I say chapters or not verses? I don't know what I said. But a couple of verses before our text, the writer of Hebrews talks about Abraham, how that God called him to go to a place, and God didn't tell him where the place was. Now, I would say that's pretty strong faith. God said, Abraham, I want you to go to a place. I'll tell you where it is later. And Abraham left. He left everything, didn't he? He left his family. He left all his family except for Lot, which that was his main problem. God said to leave all your family. He didn't fully do that, and there were some ramifications for that. But anyway, we're not going to deal with all that today. So Abraham leaves and follows God. Amen. And so God then promises him in Genesis chapter 12 that I'm going to make you a great name, I'm going to give you a great nation, and I'm going to bring you to a great land. And Abraham, you are going to be the beginning of a people. Of a people. I'm not going to deal with the English. Yeah, but anyway, of a people, the Israelites, the Hebrews. You're going to be the father of nations, and your seed shall be blessed. And he says, your seed will be as the stars in the sky and as the sand in the earth. And that's a lot. Have you ever tried to count sand? Have you ever taken your kid to a sandbox? I'm never doing that again. Because sand spreads like 11. Okay, little sand it the whole lump. Okay, and it's everywhere. And so, but you can't count the sand in your hand. Nevertheless, the sand of the sea. And so, the idea is God's going to make Abraham a great nation, lots of children, and a great land. Well, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, were getting older, and they were like, he was 100. No, how old was he had Hagar? I'm trying to remember. Now I'm just doing this off on my head now. But anyway, they were getting pretty old. And Abraham and Sarah were like, okay, God, you said that we're going to have a lot of kids, and we're pretty old, and we have zero kids. And so how does this work? And so he kind of tried to do it in his own flesh, didn't he? And he tried to make things happen. And he thought he knew exactly what God wanted, and he was going to make it happen. And so he takes Hagar, one of Sarah's handmaids, and they have a child. And his name was Ishmael. And it's like, great, we have our child. He's going to be the one that carries on the seed. Well, God kind of got in their face about that. And we're not going to review all of that. But what happened was God said, no, I told you and your wife that you would have a child, and you just need to trust me on this. You don't need to try to make it all happen. You trust me on this. And they got right with God there, and then they conceived. And when they did, Abraham at that point was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90. Can you imagine, ladies? Yeah, she had a baby, and she was 90 years old. And so God did that. And God gave them the promised son that God promised them that would happen. And so they have Ishmael, they have Isaac, and they grow up. Now, eventually what happens was God tells Abraham to kick out the bondwoman and her son. Now, it's harsh and hard to understand why God would do this to Hagar and Ishmael, but to preserve God's promise and preserve God's plan, God said, you disobeyed here, and because of your disobedience, now you have Hagar and you have Ishmael. And but God's plan for you is Sarah and Isaac, and you need to separate out Hagar and Ishmael. And he did. And Hagar and Ishmael left. Now God gave grace to Hagar and met with Hagar, and by the way, God made a great nation out of Hagar and Ishmael. And today we know them as Islam. And they're the nation that sprung up from Ishmael. Okay, so this all has already happened and taken place. So now we're in Genesis chapter 22, and this is the story that the writer of Hebrews is referring to. Okay? Are we all doing good so far? I had to get you here before we went here. And so here's what happens. Verse 1 of chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now pause. What? God doesn't tempt anybody. And you're right, he doesn't tempt anyone to sin. But what he's not tempting Abraham to sin. He's not saying, Abraham, I want you to go steal something. You know, he's trying, he's testing he's testing Abraham here. When, let me just help you. Tempting isn't a bad word in itself. It just means to test somebody to see if they'll do something. And so when you're tempted to sin, that's Satan tempting and testing you to see if you'll go ahead and do wrong. Okay, but God was tempting and testing Abraham to see how much Abraham's faith really was there. And he said unto Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, his name. And he said, Abraham back to him, behold, here I am. And Abraham was ready to listen. Now remember, Abraham's seen what God has done. He's seen God give them a son at an older age. He left where God told him to leave, and he watched God bless that. He went to a place he didn't know where he was going to go, and he ended up in a place where God led him. And he was concerned about the promise of God, and he wasn't sure how it was all going to work out. And he did mess up, and he had Hagar and Ishmael, but then he saw God's promises come to fruition with Sarah and Isaac. And so he's been through the trials, and he would say outwardly, even as it kind of was implied here, here am I, Lord, I'm ready to do. Listen, he's saying this, God, whatever you ask, I'm going to do it now, because I found out what it's like to not, and I didn't trust you before, but now I trust you. And so he says, here am I, and in that he's saying, I'm ready to do anything you ask. And that, can I say this? That's where we need to be. God, I am ready to do anything you ask. When God says, Brother Tim needs to say, here am I. When God says, and he says it all the time, when God says, Brother Steve, he needs to say, here am I. And when God says your name, you need to say, here am I. God, whatever you want me to do, I'm ready to do it. And that's good to say. But it needs to be more than just what we say. And so how do you know that? Well, because this is what God's doing. This is how God's testing. And we can say that because he didn't do it before, did he? He didn't do it before. Now he did. He followed God out of the land. But then God said, I'm going to give you a child. And he didn't do it. And he tried to do it on his own strength. And so he might have said, here am I in his life. But there were times in his life when it really was critical that he didn't. And God wants to test him to say, okay, are you for real about this? Now, did God know he was for real about this? God knew he was for real about this. But here's what God sometimes does. In your heart, you say, here am I. And sometimes, here's what God does. He puts you in a situation that proves it to you. And Abraham, he's going to be the father of a great nation. And by the way, from his seed comes the Messiah. He needs to live this, not just say this. He needs to live, here am I. And he's not the only one who needs to live, here am I. You need to live, here am I. What does that mean? God, anything you ask, I'll do it. I tell this to Brother Tim all the time. If God said, Brother Chad, I want... Did he call me brother? Chad. My son, Chad. Thank you. I want you to go to the Congo and dig a hole and then fill it in and dig it again for the rest of your life until you're dead. And if I knew it was God, I'm on the next plane. And that's how I feel. Truly. Because we have to trust God. That doesn't make sense, but if God said it, it's going to make sense. And so God says, I'm going to test you about this. And he said in verse 2, take now thy son. Oh, man. Those are hard words. Now he's getting a little personal. Isn't he? God does that. He's personal. Isn't he? He knows it's, let me tell you, God knows it's important to you. Mm-hmm. Hey, don't be giving the end of my sermon now. Take now thy son. And he says this, thine only son. Was that his only son? Well, biologically, maybe not. Ishmael. Well, why does he say thy only son? Because at this point, Abraham has gotten Ishmael out of his life. It's done. In Ishmael's mind, it's as if it didn't happen. Isn't that awesome that God can do that? Abraham messed up, but he repented, and it was out of his life. And to Abraham and to God, it was as if it had not happened. Can I tell you, you have done some stuff. I don't know who you are, what you've done. I know who you are, but not really who you are. I don't know everything you've done, but I have a feeling you've done something dumb. I have. Where I knew a God said do this, but I was like, but I want to do this, and I made it happen, and I did it, and then you did it, and then you regret it, and then God gets in your face about it, and you stop. And listen, if you repent and you turn your heart back and say again, God, here am I, and then God says, get it out of your life, and you get it out of your life, it is out of your life. It's out of your life in your life. It's out of your life in the eyes of God, and I'm thankful for that. And so God says, your only son. And he's following God. And God says, take your only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you. That sounds familiar. Go to a mountain. Which one? I'll tell you later. Isn't that what he did in the beginning? Go to a land. Which one? I'll tell you later. Just go. And he goes. And they go, and they rise up early. Hey, by the way, nothing. There's no, are you sure, God? He just goes. He rises up early. Why? Because he knew it was God. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't make sure it's God. I will say this. Abraham did have a little bit of an advantage to where the very voice of God spoke to him. And we don't always have that, but we do have the Word of God. And let me tell you this, that where the Word of God is clear, there needs to be no questioning. There needs to be no debate with God. There needs to be no wrestling. It's like, God, if you know, listen, when you know it's God, then you do it. And when the Word is clear, you're clear. Now, when God guides and directs, it's probably foolish to just immediately just jump on the feelings in your heart. Not a good idea. The heart is deceptive. And let me just tell you this. When you're being led to do something, there's two voices in your head. No, you're not crazy. Okay? When you're saved, there are two voices in your head. There is your heart, and there is the Holy Spirit. And they are both talking to you. And you can say as strong as you want to that, I know it when God talks to me. Well, I will tell you this, that your heart is deceitful above all things. Above all things. Well, why would it need to be deceitful? How is it deceiving you? Well, because it tells you that this is what God wants. Does that. That's how Satan works, isn't it? And he tries to tell you, this is what God wants you to do. You know, you're in this relationship and you know, maybe the pastor didn't think it's a good idea, or maybe you're not really ready, but who cares what he says? This is what God wants, you know? And can I tell you, that's not really how it works. And you know, the Bible says this about this, and, you know, maybe that's how it applies to other people, but to you, don't worry about it, because this is what God wants. No, your heart is deceptive. You can't just immediately just jump because you think this is what God wants. What do you need to do? Well, first of all, you need to run it by Scripture. This voice is speaking to your head. What do you do? Well, first you need to see what does Scripture say. If Scripture says no, then it's not God. And I know that there have been voices in my head that I thought it was God, and I ran it by Scripture and said, no, it wasn't. I've heard people say, I'm going to marry this guy, I'm with this guy, when God says, don't be unequally yoked together. If you think God's telling you to be in a relationship with somebody who is not saved, it is not God. Well, who are you? I'm an idiot. I'm a dirtbag. But God says, don't be unequally yoked together. God's been, since the beginning, told Israel, don't marry someone who's not Israeli. Why? Because God's racist? No, because God wants you to be in a relationship with someone who's heading down the same way as you. Because God says, if you marry them, then you will, lest ye follow after their gods. You know what usually doesn't happen? That they follow after your God. Now, if you're married and it is what, I mean, let me tell you this. Well, Brother Chad, I'm already married, and I don't know how I got here. This is just where I am. I don't know how this happened. But Brother Chad, I'm already married, and they're not saved. Well, let me tell you this. God wants you to stay with them. Well, how do you know that? Because God says, if they'll stay with you, stay with them. If they will. I'm getting way off. So anyways, the reason I said this is because people, listen, well, here's why I did this. Because in this area, this realm of your heart, in relationships, your heart is on full-blown crazy town. And your heart is telling you everything and make you think a lot of dumb things. But God, what we need to do first is make sure it lines up with Scripture. Okay? I don't have time to keep going on. One. Then, God says, get counsel. The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Safety from what? Making a bonehead decision. If you're out here saying, well, this is what God wants, and I don't see anything scripture wrong with this, but I don't want anyone to know that. I don't want to tell my pastor. Can I tell you, your pastor is there almost primarily to pastor you, guide you, direct you. If you have a big decision to make and you won't tell your pastor about it because you're scared what he's going to say, God didn't tell you to do that. Okay. But not just pastor. You get godly counsel. Talk to people. Talk to who? People who care about what God thinks. Why? Because your heart's deceptive. And the person who you're talking to, their heart isn't in this. And they, if they know the Bible, can tell you what the Bible says, free from emotion. You need that. You need that. Okay. I don't even have notes, so I was going to say I got away from my notes, but God just, anyway. So, there's that. Okay, so we need to follow God. And we need to know, first of all, we need to know what God tells us to do. And when we know what God says, then there's no question after that. You following? There is question until you find out exactly what God wants you to do. But when you know what God wants you to do, then you just follow God. Okay? And so he did. He got up early and he saddled his ass, took his two sons. We're in verse 3. He didn't take his two sons. I'm sorry. He took two of his young men. They can only be out in time. Take both the sons. Anyway. I'm sorry. He took his two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, we're just going to read through this so you can really focus and pay attention. Now they make this a lot for a shorter sermon. Okay? Can you do that? So let's listen close. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Apparently God had made it clear to him by then. Verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? So Isaac is starting to catch on here, isn't he? That we're up here to do a sacrifice for God, and there's nothing to sacrifice for God. What's the deal here? And so, verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And there's a lot that could be said about this, but we just can't get into all of it today. And so they both went up. In verse 9, and they came to a place which God had told him of. See, God had told him of. And so he got direction. He knew where God wanted him to be. And they built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and found Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Pause. That's crazy. And you might know this story, but I want you to kind of disconnect yourself from that for a moment and just know Abraham loved his son. How do you know? Well, God said he did. And so he loved his son. And it was, I would say, the most precious thing Abraham had. But God said, I want you to slay your son. And he knew it. And he was ready to do it. We'll talk about that more later. But he was ready to do it. Ready. Listen, ready to do it. I mean, a little bit ahead of myself. But just because you're ready to do it doesn't mean that God will make you do it. But you need to be ready to do it. Are you following me? So verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Pretty excited. Hey, God, now what? Thank you. Right? Here am I. He said, by the way, his response is the same in verse 1 than it is there. He didn't know what God was going to have him do. He didn't know it was going to be something like this. But he was ready to do whatever God asked. And now he's in the middle of doing something incredible and difficult for him, I'm sure. The same response. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. And he said, you know the story, verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son and only son from me. Now, again, now I know. Now, I want to help you with this too. God did know. Like, he knows everything. The word know, do you remember when God said, when the Bible says that Joseph knew not Mary? He knew who Mary was. He was like, he was going to marry her. Mary. He was going to change me. But anyway, he knew who she was. But he didn't know her. Can I say this? Experientially. You following? There was no consummation in marriage yet. Okay? God knew Abraham would do this, but now there's experience to back it up. That's what he's saying. Now I know experientially. See? Now it's been proven. The test has been passed. And you will do anything I ask is basically what God is. Now, go back to Hebrews 11. That was a good introduction, wasn't it? All right. Hebrews chapter 11. Knowing now what we know, the writer of Hebrews is making a couple points that I want to point out to you, okay? Based upon that story. So verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, and again, tried how? Well, we know. He said, here am I. Do you mean it? And again, I ask you, how about we do it? Who wants to be here am I with God? Who wants to do anything God asks? Who's ready and willing to do anything God asks? Now, you don't all have to raise your hand unless you mean it, because it means something. But hopefully everyone will at least has a desire to be here am I to God. God, anything you ask, I will do. Anything you ask, I'll do it. Well, God's going to test him. Yeah. And it says, offered up Isaac. What's Isaac? Isaac is the most precious thing in his whole life. And he that had received the promises, this is the one God promised him. This is the one that got from the beginning he's been looking for, and now he has him and he's so excited. But he offered up his only begotten son. Again, that idea of only begotten son we already dealt with. Of whom it was said that in Isaac thou shalt thy seed be called. Now I want to pause here for a second. First point is this. If you want to be here am I with God, you need to be willing to do anything God asks you to do. What does that mean? Well, let me just start right at the nitty-gritty. God, you need to be willing to give up anything God asks you to give up. Am I saying that you need to give up everything? No. I am saying you need to be willing to give up anything. If there's anything in your life where you're like, God, if you tell me to do this, I'm not doing it. That's an idol. But Brother Chad, there's nothing wrong with this. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be anything wrong with it. Here's what's wrong with it. It's more important to you than God is. That's why Jesus said, if any man hate not his father and mother and son and brother, wife, they are not worthy to follow me. They cannot be my disciple. Does God want you to give up your family? Well, probably not. God says to love your family. God says husbands love your wives, wives loves your husbands. God says children obey your parents and parents love your children. God wants, God, you know, in God's ultimate plan, if everything were to work out the way it should, God wants you to have your family. But there sometimes comes a time where you have to give up your family. And in a Jewish time especially, if they got baptized to the baptism of John or the baptism of Christ, their family would disown them. And Jesus says, if you're not willing to give them up, you can't be my disciple. You cannot be a here am I Christian. You cannot be a disciple of Christ truly if you are not willing to give up anything. Anything. You do not have to give up everything. But there needs to be nothing between you and God. If God says, I need you to choose between me and your family, you need to be willing to choose between God and your family. And choose God. If God says, this TV show, I don't want you to watch it anymore. You might say, well, I'm going to watch it still. Well, okay. It might not have any swear words in it, but what I'm telling you is you need to be willing to give up anything God asks you to give up. Anything. Well, I'm not going to give up my music. Are you listening to me? Anything. Not just because someone else asked you to, but if you know, listen, here's the point. If you know that God wants you to give up this kind of music, you need to be willing to give up that kind of music. You see? And on the list goes. If God, not even if just your pastoral leadership wants you to give it to something. Sometimes that's how God speaks. But in your heart, you need to be first willing to give it up. You know, a lot of us want to be led by God, but God will not lead until you're ready to say yes first. Abraham was ready to say yes first, and God led and told him what to do. Oftentimes, we want God to tell us what to do, but we're not willing to even say yes. God's not going to lead you that way. Before God leads you, you need to, in your heart, say, God, anything in my life, it's yours if you want it. That's where Abraham was. And God said, give me your son. And he was willing to, wasn't he? He was willing to. He didn't have to. Praise God. And maybe God will never call me to go to Congo and dig holes. Hopefully. But if he did, I'm serious. I know it'll be better than where I am. Why? Because God knows better than me. And if God tells you to give it up, do you not trust him? Are you better than him? Do you know better than him? Do you love yourself more than he loves you? Do you know the future? Whatever God has you do it. Why? Because you trust God. But Brother Chad, it doesn't make sense. Why would God ask me to do that? Well, I would have, Abraham probably thought that. Well, how do you know that? Well, good question. Look at verse 19. Accounting. I love that word in the glasses out. Accounting. That God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in the figure. This is cool. Okay. I got time. So back up. God told Abraham, Isaac's the one. All this happened to Hagar. Isaac is the one that will bear seed for your name. Remember how you're going to have seed, kids, descendants more than the stars in the sand? It's going to be through Isaac. God made that clear to him. Okay. Well, for that to happen, Isaac kind of needs to be alive. Then, but listen, but then God said, I want you to offer your son. Are you using your mind this morning? If you're Abraham, hold on. God said he wants Isaac to be the one that carries on the seed. And now God wants me to kill him. That doesn't account. That doesn't reconcile. These don't make any sense. So what does Abraham do? First of all, he says, here am I. Before he figures it out, he says, here am I. But then he starts to think, now how is this all going to work? I would imagine probably on the way to the mountain, he's thinking this. Because the first thing he did is got up and went, right? And so he's probably thinking, all right, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go offer my son, my only son, the one God promised me. You know, he's going to, now, but he had so much faith in God that he's like, but God also said he's going to be the one that carries on the seed. And so how is it going to work? He's just walking thinking, well, here's all I could think. God's going to bring him back to life. God can do that. He's God. He can bring him back to life. Now, that's never really happened before yet. It would happen again, wouldn't it? And that's why he's a figure. Anyway, he had trust in the resurrection. Okay? But God can do that. So he's just like, you know what? I don't know exactly how this is going to work out, but probably God's just going to raise him back from the dead. It'll work out. That's probably how. That's pretty awesome. When God calls you to do something, when God directs you, and you know it's God, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Now, I will say, it needs to make sense according to Scripture. Okay, it can't make no sense scripturally. So it can make complete sense scripturally, and you know it's exactly what God wants you to do. And God's put this on your heart, and you've done all the things, and you know this is what God wants. But how's this going to work out? Well, don't worry about that too much. It'll work out. You can try to figure it out. You're probably wrong. Abraham was wrong. It did not work out like he thought. Can I promise you, though? It's going to be even better, probably. I feel like what happened there was even cooler. And God says, stop, and think. But here's the thing. We just need to trust God. We don't need to worry about it. We don't need to know the future. We don't need to know where this is going to go. We don't need to know how this is going to work out. What we need to know is this. We need to know the one who asked us to do it. And the one who asked us to do it is God. And who's God? Well, he's the one that's done this in the past. He's the one that's done this for me. He's the one who loves me. He's the one who died for me. He's the one that's in control. He's the one who knows the future. He's the one. He's God. And even if I lose my head, that's what happened to John the Baptist. It still worked out better for John the Baptist than if he were to not do what God said. And now John the Baptist is still an example to us today, isn't he? And we don't need to always understand. Job, there's no way he understood why all this was happening to him. But he said, I will, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will follow him. And no matter what happens, this probably is all going to turn out. But if it doesn't turn out like I like, and if things happen and my life is harder because of it, I can know this. My life is exactly what God wants it to be. Why? Because I'm following God, and it's going to be better in the long run. God is the one in control of all this. Here am I. Here am I. What does that mean? I'll do whatever you want. What else does that mean? That means whatever happens to me, I want your glory to be fulfilled. I want your will to be done. And God, if you ask me, then that's going to be what's going to happen, is you'll be glorified. And that's what I want. I don't just want a cush life. I just don't want this all to work out how I want it to work out. Abraham could have said, God, I'll do it if you raise him back from the dead. And God would have said no. We just need to do what God wants us to do. And then what? And then trust God. Trust God that it will work out. How so? Well, maybe it's not going to work out like you thought it was going to work out. Maybe it's not going to be what you wanted it to be. And I'm not going to tell you that it will be. I will never tell you, oh, you'll heal up. You didn't know that. I will never tell you, oh, they'll get saved one day. We don't know that either. I will never tell you that. Why? Because we can't know that. I can tell you this. God knows what's going to happen. And God's plan is best. And in the end, we'll be thankful we followed God. So what is it? What's in your life? I can't imagine we went through this whole time without something being in your life. That the Holy Spirit is going to bring something to your mind. Maybe God's not even telling you to get rid of it yet. He probably won't until you're ready to get rid of it. What in your life are you not ready to follow God with? You might say, I'll go to church, I'll do this, I'll do that, but I'm not doing that. What is it? You need to get that out of your mind. Do you trust God or not? Well, how do you know if you trust God? Well, it matters in the test. And God tested Abraham. And maybe potentially God's testing you this morning. Maybe there's a friendship that you don't need to have. Maybe there's a stand that you need to make. Maybe there's a ministry God's calling you to do. Maybe God's not calling you to not do something. Maybe He's calling you to do something. Maybe God's not calling you to do anything yet because you're not willing to do anything yet. Are you willing to do anything? Are you ready to quit your job and follow God if He asks you to? Are you ready to not watch that TV show so you can be at church? Hey, it sounds silly, but it's legit. Are you ready to not go to football practice to be at church? If God asks you to. What are you holding on to? Because let me tell you this. Whatever it is, that's your God. And He's not going to end it. You need to follow God. And if God asks you to do it, you just need to know this. It'll be better. Just trust Him. And over again, God said to Abraham, you go here. Where? You just trust me, I'll tell you. Do you trust Him? But Brother Chad, I can't handle it if that happened. Well, yeah. But God never asked you to. God will give you grace. God giveth more grace. God is in the business of asking us to do stuff we can't handle. Because He can handle it for you. And that's where He wants you to be. Trust God. He'll guide, He'll direct, He'll provide. You don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry about being the best whatever. The best father, best mother, best whatever God asks you to be. You just need to be worried about, am I where God wants me to be? Do I trust God with this? This is the battle of the Christian. Not to be a better version of you, but really to understand that you're a dirtbag. Amen? We should just rename the church the Dirtbag Baptist Church. Anyway, we're all dirt. Listen, all of us, none of us know better than God. None of us know what we're doing. We're all sinful. And God wants us to recognize that. You're not going to be better and then God loves you and uses you. No, you're going to be better because God loves you and He uses you. And you need to come to a place where you say, God, I have nothing to offer, but I want to follow You. And God will direct and guide and use that. Are you Jeremiah today? I hope you are. If you're not, we have 5 minutes. So Brother Josh will be ready. And let's be here am I. Hey, the Christian is always one prayer away from being fully right with God. You don't even have to do anything. Why? Because it's not what you do that makes you right with God. It's your heart that makes you right with God. And you get right with God, you'll start doing things. Maybe you need to go apologize to somebody. Well, let's get right with God about it. You're right with God, and now you go apologize to somebody. You see? Maybe God needs you to go do something, but you don't need, that's not how you get right with God. You get right with God when your heart is ready to follow. And that happens here. And then you go and do it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for Abraham. Thank you, God, that even with all of his flaws, Lord, so often he failed you and followed his flesh and tried to make things happen his way and trusted in his ability. But Lord, I'm thankful that here, when you tested him, he was willing to follow whatever that meant. And then, Lord, we saw how you used him. We're thankful. Help us to be here, my Christians. Help us, Lord, to be willing to follow you anywhere you lead. Be willing to give up anything for your glory, because it's all about you. We love you. That's my prayer. And the music's going to play.